Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to a pre-recorded interview from the archives of Prophecy Keepers Radio. You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuayhis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Thanks for listening to the Wisdom of the Elders on Prophecy Keepers Radio, revealing closely guarded ancient secrets here in the modern information age of Aquarius. This station's only means of support is through donations and purchases of the Prophecy Keepers Trilogy and Preparedness Library, which includes lifetime online access to a printable 1,000-page intelligence briefing and a worldwide indigenous prophecy encyclopedia. Now, folks, there's nothing else like this collection on the planet. You'll receive instant access to the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. This is a huge 4.88 gigabyte library, 3,287 files and 222 folders. It includes the Prophecy Keepers Preppers Self-Reliance files and all of our previous over 100 Prophecy Keepers interviews. So head on over to prophecykeepers.com right now and have a free sneak peek today of two-thirds of the Prophecy Keepers trilogy and a peek of the dashboard of the Prophecy Keepers Wisdom Treasury Vault. Osio Ginalii Tahiju Toigu, which means, hello cousins, I'm fine, how are you? This is your old buddy Bluewater coming to you from the Cumberland Plateau in east central Tennessee, the ancient home of the Aniuntikwalaski, the people of the lightning and thunder, or the military protectors of the old Cherokee Nation. Well, hello everybody. This is Will Bluewater coming to you from deep in the backwoods of Tennessee in an undisclosed location, not in an underground bunker, like some might think. But anyway, our my attempt at humor, folks. Our guest this evening is Shaha Wen, and my psychic powers tell me that our first caller is Shaha Wen. I was kind of wondering because I had planned on Skyping you. And matter of fact, I've got a 15-minute clip of your dad calling, and if you're okay with this connection for 2 hours, fine, or during the time we play your a clip of your dad speaking, we can Skype you in. But, and sorry about we had another little tiny glitch at the beginning. We will get all this stuff ironed out. Supposedly there's a setting where I indicate which first clip I want played, and it didn't kick off right away, so I kicked something, and it kicked me back. Anyway, that's life. In the big city. Hope not. Well, how are you this evening, Shawin?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing just fine. Doing just fine. I kind of fell asleep. We had a big day. You know, you can always tell springtime when the woman around the house wants to start cleaning. And,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh, she wore me out. We got a lot done today. And And anyway, I was asleep out there. I didn't set a little alarm clock on my cell phone or anything. So I woke up about 10 minutes before the show, and then I wasn't sure. I thought, did I tell Sean on the right time? Because I was thinking she was in.
I was watching, and I thought I was late, but I wasn't.
What time zone are you, a mountain?
Yes, I'm on mountain time, so it's 9 o'clock here.
Yeah, that's right. I was thinking I told you 8 o'clock. But anyway, tell the folks a little bit about yourself, Shahawin.
Okay, my name is Shahawin, and I have a nonprofit called the New Self-Love Foundation. Our mission is to help people to become aware of their path that they're on and why they have difficulties and all the other good things. And, of course, as y'all can tell, I'm not very good at speaking.
That's okay. That's all right. I've got, would you like me to go ahead and play this, I guess it's a 9-minute clip of your dad speaking to Jeffrey Mishlove. Have you ever seen that on YouTube?
Yes, I probably have.
He's speaking about the unity of man. I was just looking today at your picture, going to get ready for the show, and his picture, and the first time I visited him, he kind of looked at me. There's two or three people there, and he has people there from all over the world. And the thing I remember most is the chow. They had somebody from one of the Scandinavian countries, and they made some stir fry. Oh my gosh, it was so good. But Rolling Thunder looked at me and he said, "You got Cherokee blood, don't you?" And I said, "Well, yes, sir. How can you tell?" He says, "By your eyebrows and." You look quite a bit like your dad, and a lot of Cherokee people seem to have the first one third of their eyebrows in toward the nose is usually pretty thick.
Right.
I've noticed, and that's one of the first things I learned about Cherokees. A lot of them have thick eyebrows. But listen, this is Rolling Thunder. John Rolling Thunder Pope was arguably the most famous medicine man of the 20th century. A lot of people call him. It's really kind of sad. Things are changing now, but because he was a mixed blood and he didn't look real Indian to some people. It's really interesting about what people think Indians look like. And they're the ones out west, they're going to look like us in a generation or two because it took a couple generations for the white folks to get out there. And Indians in the east, crossbred with white people a little bit earlier. I know that your dad studied in North Carolina under Amanita Sequoia, who was one of the last old Cherokee herbalists and a very well-known man. He told me stories. It wasn't unusual for a Cherokee to grow up somewhere else in Oklahoma. There were a lot of Cherokees that didn't go to the Cherokee Nation. Because of the Civil War inside the nation, they weren't welcome. And from what I understand, he probably grew up down south of Cherokee Nation, the Creek Nation, because he did his first work, I understand, when he was 13 years up in the Kiamichi Mountains. And he told me that when he was 13 years old, he was put out in the mountains with a knife to live by himself for a year. And he says, that's when you start to learn, pay attention about the plants and everything, because one plant from berries from one plant will kill you, and the other ones will heal you. But he was an extremely well known person. He did a lot of speaking. The Grateful Dead We're very close to him. Bob Dylan named an album after him, and it's kind of sad that, you know, some people call him a plastic shaman or whatever. But you know, he didn't, and properly so, he did not claim to be a Cherokee medicine man. He was a Paint Clan Cherokee, and he I understand did a lot of his training up in the Duck River Reservation, which is north of Carlin. It's up on straddles, or it's right on the Oregon Nevada border. And but he told me, he said if he had had his druthers, he would have gone to British Columbia. But when you apprentice to be a medicine man, you know, you pledge to stay in the area that you're planted in order to serve the people. But you want to add anything before I before I roll this 9-minute clip, Shahaman?
No, I think you did good.
Okay, I'm sure some other things about him will come to mind. Here he is, speaking on the unity of man and nature. This is from the Thinking Aloud DVD with Jeffrey Mishlove, and I'll take both of us off mic while I'm playing it.
Columbus didn't discover America. There were people here already. A couple
sure.
of my boys wouldn't put that down. They were going to school. I had to go up and have a chat with this little principal, and I made him stand on the other side of the desk while I stood on, sat in his chair. And finally, I had to stand up. And I explained to him, I've taught my children not to lie. Now, you're trying to make a liar out of him. And he finally caught the message. I told him you were working for me. I paid taxes. And so you're going to listen to me. And you're not going to teach my children to lie. And so he made an exception of my boys. But he flunked them.
Well, it seems to me that the lie of the larger culture is much bigger than who discovered America. It's as if we've lost touch with something very, very fundamental that native peoples such as yourself have kept alive.
Well, they stole most everything. And somebody asked me, what part of America is it that you, isn't there any good thing that you like about this country? I said, yes, that's that part that they stole. And it is very true, even though they stole most everything they could get their hands on, our land, children, women, whatever, they took it, and the natural wealth left us very poor people. A lot of our people homeless in our own country. But the best things of all, that they had no value, was our way of life. They copied our Constitution from the Iroquois Confederation. That's in the legal code books.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they didn't invent that. They had nothing like it before. But they couldn't live by it. Because their heart was not, and their thinking was not in that kind of a order to live by something like that. Mm-hmm. And a real freedom and a real peace, they couldn't do it. So they violated every day by their different interpretations, just like they do their own Bible and different good books. Yeah. And so, and losing these values, they also lost a great deal in how to take care of this land. I like to teach about that. That's our job. We delegate. We don't say we own the land. The grandfather Greek spirit, the one they call God, is the one that owns the land. And so that we are, though, the caretakers of this land. Nobody else can do it. But there's people that can help, and we'd like a lot of people like that that would help. If we try to take your job, we'd make a mess of it. somebody else's job. It wouldn't be too good, because you people have the technology, and we're all needed. All of us are needed to work together. And so there won't be any such day as next war of violence. Also that the land could bloom again. And it does in the desert where I live. And I can prove it. Right now, it looks like a jungle in that area right around my house. And it's green for 100 miles around. On every side, different deserts, real deserts. But in the area where we live, I've seen even what they call weeds. No such thing as a weed, really. I've seen them dance when there was no wind blowing to the sound of our drums and our singing. That's how powerful that is, too. And so that we have rain, and even without the rain, these plants are still green. It's amazing. I come down here sometimes, I see everything dried up sometimes in the past. And one time they was having a drought. And the water commissioners over here in Marion County wrote me a 2-page legal size type letter and invited me to come down here and get some rain that time. At some years back when it was really drying up down here. And I turned it down. I had a good laugh. You know why? Mm-hmm. They didn't say one word about what they're going to do for me or my people. So we had a good laugh, and then my people did, and I could see it laying in their yards over there. A lot of rusty old pipe. And yet they didn't say one word. We could have used that for irrigation pipe. Put it back together, we could have used it. But it's not for me to beg or to tell them. They never offered my transportation, even. They didn't say where I was going to stay or how I was going to eat. Those people didn't. Now, I know they wouldn't ask anybody else to do anything like that. When they go to their doctors, they pay. You bet they do, handsomely. I didn't ask them for no payment. I don't go begging nowhere. And they can't treat me like that. They want, they want, they want. And they want an old Indian to work for nothing. Some of those politicians are the worst. Let's put it that way. I don't want to talk too much about politicians.
Well, there was a huge thunderstorm here in the San Francisco Bay Area 2 nights ago, which is extremely rare. We never get thunder and lightning. And
some of my good friends been after me. They've been calling me up there. I got many friends throughout the area here. Besides, I like this area. But when my friends ask me for help, that's different from some politician that ain't going to do nothing to appreciate. And yes, I've been dancing as hard as I could, doing a few other things. So, it's my brother over there, that old storm god. And that's the way I got my name, for that matter. I used to scream like a little eagle's what they told me, even when I was a baby in diapers, run right out in a storm. Yeah, I love it. And that lightning flash, there's a lot of power in it, I'll tell you. And I know some Indians, I don't like to talk too much about what I can do myself. I tell people I don't do nothing. That's a great spirit's power. But I do have a say-so sometimes, and I can request, you know, what. And if people deserve it, why, they can have it. We like to help, too, in our way of doing things. And that, I like to, it's beautiful music when that thunder rolls. You can catch some of the water right after the storm. Catch it in pots, pans, any way you can, and drink it. You don't need nothing to get high with. You don't need anything else. You can feel that energy go all the way through you. I do that sometimes, and have my feathers out there making the thunder roll and bringing the lightning down, and then stand right there in the middle of it. I'd look around behind me. Here would be a lot of my family and my people there too, looking up at the show, you know. No, we don't need no heavy artillery, nothing like that. We've got 80,000 more times energy, one bolt of lightning, than there was in the first atomic bomb what they dropped on Japan. Mm-hmm. 80,000 times more.